And turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. We're going to be studying and considering a topic today that many of us are familiar with, and I would venture to guess would assent to or agree to that we are created for God's glory, as we've already been singing. We're going to hopefully consider it, though, in a way that maybe we don't often consider it today, this issue of purpose as it relates to God's glory and our purpose and living out and fulfilling our purpose. Let's look at Isaiah 47. 47:3 will be our main focus of the day, but we'll look at some of the rest of Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I formed him, yes, I have made him." Very clear there that as God was creating and his creative purposes, your created purpose is for his glory, to give him glory. Let's pray together as we consider how these truths affect our life. Lord God, I believe that we assent to this. We know we are created for your glory. We sing of your glory often. We think of even and discuss what it means, your glory. I pray that you'd help us to understand and think about how that you have created us for your glory. It goes directly to how we are to think and act and the dynamics of our life as we live here. And what it means practically as we just fulfill the days you have for us on this earth. And I just pray that, again, this would just be a time of personal reflection for each one of us, that we could see the things in our heart and the things in our life as it reflects your glory or not, or living for your glory or living for a different glory this morning. And to think about and be honest with ourselves, even in this hour and the next one, as we interact in smaller groups. And so we just pray for help as we unpack and think on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Created for God's glory. You know, I think, you know, we talk about that a lot in Christian circles. There's books about it, and we think about it, we sing about it. You know, I don't imagine it was very difficult for the worship team people to pick songs about God's glory this morning. There's an awful lot of them, right? And that's right. That's right to do, because we were made to serve God and to give him glory. It's interesting how that works out in our life, though, sometimes. The Westminster Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And really, that is one way to explain purpose. That statement is a purpose-type statement. The chief end of man, in other words, your purpose, to glorify God and create him forever. You see that in this verse 7 here. I have made him. I have formed him. It's as a creator, he said, as your creator, I have made you for my glory. We saw that a few months ago, that really all of creation, or what we chose to call general revelation at that time, should and does and should point us to God's glory. So in other words, we see the wonderful things that God has made. We live in this world. We experience this world. And it should point us, it should draw us to the glory of God. Psalm 19:1-6, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day utters speech. Night into night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the worlds to the end of the earth, and their words to the end of the earth, the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of its chamber. He rejoices like a strong man in its race, rising from one end of the heaven to the other. Its circuit to the other end. There's nothing hidden from its heat. Just the psalmist there, David, saying that all of creation, I look at creation, it points me to God's glory. Again in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And he just goes on, as I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? A good friend of mine once said, when you go to the mountains, you don't go to the mountains to make much of yourself. You look at those and you say, wow. Right? You say, wow. Those are awesome. The heavens, the creation, all of creation points to God's glory. Isaiah 43, Isaiah points even to God's working among Israel as a means to bringing himself glory. Now I say, now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk, this is how he's working among them, right? When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. The sons from afar, my daughter from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have made for my glory. He's talking about even his interaction with Israel there was not because of them. It's not because of their goodness or really anything that they had done, but it was for his glory, for him as he provided for them. It would point them to his glory and his goodness, and they would know him, and they should make much of him. And we've been seeing that for several years as we look at the Old Testament. Very often they didn't do that, right? They turned to idols or other things instead of giving God his due glory. Now, think about this one thought here with me. Because we'll come back to this. As you talk with people in the world today, you're going to find some who really take offense at this idea of God creating for his own glory. And they would say, well, it's very self-centered. We'll come back to that thought. Keep that in mind. But here's the point. It is really actually a demonstration of God's love for him to create for his glory. It is a manifestation, or maybe a bit simpler way to say it would be, it is right for God to create for his glory, and it's a demonstration of love. If God had made us any other way, to live for anything else but his glory, to live for him and his glory, it would be idolatry. And that would be terrible. And you could say it like this. Imagine if God had made men to live for themselves, to live for man. I'm going to glorify myself. I'm going to live for myself. Now, can you imagine that? You can sure imagine that today, can't you? Right? Not a stretch for us. And what happens? It's a mess, isn't it? It's not good. The psalmist in Psalm 32:10, I'll just read it instead of quoting it because I get it messed up a little bit. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. It's a hard life if you live for yourself, if you glorify yourself. But he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. And so if God had done anything but create people for his glory to worship and know him, it would have been idolatry. It would have been very bad for us. We see now, later down the road after the fall, what that looks like. The reason is that God alone is worthy of worship. God alone should be the focus and center of any worship. Psalm 86:9. All nations, keep all these things in mind, by the way. It's going somewhere. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. You are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Revelations 4:9-11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Again, it's pointing to God's creative goodness and his creative acts. Revelation 15:3, They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested," or seen. Your goodness has been seen. We've seen who you are. God made us for that. One of your purposes is to know God and to glorify Him, to give Him His due, to give Him His right worship, His right glory. That's how come one of the reasons that God made us, one of the reasons God made anything, was to glorify Himself, and so that we could know Him. Now, let's think about life a second then. If one of the purposes that you were made, and we'll be able to see this, one of the purposes that you are made for is to be a worshiper, what is bound to be the bent of your heart? If you were made by your Creator to worship Him, you are a worshiper, right? You were made to be a worshiper. You were made to worship the right thing. The right thing is God. So we're hardwired with this desire for glory, this desire to worship. Now, the fall came. Now, think about this with me. When the fall came, when Adam and Eve sinned and sin was passed on, the desire to worship did not disappear, right? The hardwired purpose you were made for, to be a worshiper, did not go away. What happened? It twisted, right? It twisted. Instead of worshiping the only one worthy of worship, you alone are God, you alone are worthy of worship, all of a sudden, us being worshipers got diffused into other areas, and we start to worship other created things. You want to find that? Thumb through the Bible, pop it open, right? And it's everywhere in there that we turn to idols. Isaiah is full of that. Now think about this with me. As people, we love to be wowed, right? We love to be wowed. It's like a worship expression. Go to a sporting event. Yeah, right? Wow us. Show us the great athlete. Give us the excitement. Wow us. The way the advertising is, we got to have it. Wow us with something. Celebrities, movies, anything like that. How about even this? We're getting close to Christmas time, right? I'm guilty of this. How often do we make Christmas an expression of glorifying and resting in and loving our great Creator? Or how often does a lesser glory grab our attention? And we even want others to be wowed, right? I want you to be wowed by the gifts that I give you. I want you to be excited about this present that I've bought for you. And how you react will show whether that's the case or not. Sports, athletics, accomplishments, games, science, finding out some unknown fact, people. We're worshipers. We have this built-in thing that we want to be wowed. But the problem is, we are not made to glory in created things. Now, remember that idea about why are some people upset that God made us for His glory? And I've had people want to talk about that. Wait a minute here. It's self-centered. Now, I don't say this, but I would, yeah, that's right. It is self-centered. The only person that's right for Him to be self-centered is God. Right? Anything else is idolatry. You see that? Now, the question, though, that's better in my mind is this. Why are you upset about that? Right? And think about it. It's because I want my glory. If God's wanting His glory, I don't like that. I want my glory. I want people to make much of me. I want my fame on display. I want you to be wowed by me. I want you to love me and make much of me. It's a glory war, isn't it? It's a glory war. It's the glory of God versus the glory of things or stuff or me or whatever it turns into. It's a glory war. We were made for God's glory, but the battle is for a different one. And it's rooted in the fall. You know, there was no glory war before the fall. It's all about God's glory. Everyone perfectly and purely worshiping the God that made them and giving him honor and love. But the fall entered in and it wrecked it. And sin enters and people's conscience are darkened. And God's due glory is exchanged for something worthless. The fall in Isaiah 14 is described like this. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. See the glory war there? There's a glory war going on there. Ezekiel 28, a parallel. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. There's a glory war. God made us for his glory, to see him, to know him, to love him, to enjoy him, to make much of him. But there's this war. There's this tension. There's this battle that goes on where we chase and live for and seek and desire a lesser, another glory. Life is all about glory. It's about getting glory, giving glory, wanting glory. Stuff, cars, houses, technology, jobs, relationships even can be about that. How often do people say, I love you, but they mean, I love what I want you to give me? Right? It's a glory war. So this kind of truth here about how we were created just gets right down to where we live every single day. The glory war, glorifying self versus God's glory. We saw that in Genesis 11, right? Let's go build us this tower to heaven. Let's make a name for ourselves. The glory war. Seeking your own desires, your own glory, your own will, your own way. Making much of yourself. Glory war. Now, the glory war is easiest seen for me in our personal relationships. You're surprised I was going to say that, right? No, you're not, of course. James says it like this. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Now, what's that say? Glory war. My ears perk up when I read that. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Right? You lust, you covet, you don't get, you can't have, you murder, you don't ask rightly, all of that. James 4, 6, 1 through 6. There's a war in our relationships, and it's much about glory. Now, at the core level of it, and the truth of it is that the war, oh my, is between you and God. Right? If you don't believe me, look at James 4, 6. Okay? The war is not between you and the other person and both of your glories butting head. That's certainly happening, right? But the real glory war is, are you going to live for God's glory? Or are you going to live for some lesser glory? And that's the glory war. Seeking your own desires, your own wants, problems in life, marriages get destroyed, relationships break down. Relationships in the body of Christ evaporate because I want something and I want you to give it to me and you are unwilling to, and so we have a war. It's all about this issue of glory. And you'd say, if you deliver what I want, then we'd be okay. If I could just have this, or if I could just get you to this, or if you would just provide for me this, right? You ever heard that? Well, if everyone would just listen to what I have to say, then everything would be just fine. Right? Well, we know that's not true. there's this tension and this battle that goes on, and it's this thing of a glory war. I want something, and if you would just give it to me, I could be fulfilled. Well, that's the wrong glory that you're living for, and seeking happiness and all of those kind of things. Make much of me, right? You know, how often in our relationships do they break down because one person is just not making much of the other one, you know? And then what happens over years that erodes? You know, maybe it started out all warm and fuzzy, and then all of a sudden they start to not like each other as much, and pretty soon they hate each other. What's the ultimate end of that? They're just going to go separate ways. Why? Because I want something from you, and you're not giving it to me. You're not fulfilling me anymore. You know what? You started out in the wrong place. You understand that? You started out seeking for a lesser glory, and it'll never fill you. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to kill the person that you're seeking to get the glory from. Because they weren't even made to be glory givers. You know, they're not glorious. They're not going to fulfill that in you. You're made to glorify God, to make much of Him, to live for Him, to do His will. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be content. They're not going to be able to satisfactorily glorify you. And the root thing where it comes down to in this glory war is that God, and He's not real silent on this issue, God does not share His glory with anyone else. Right? The whole book of Isaiah is about that. Why are you chasing after these lesser things? I'm not going to share my glory with them. You're my people. In Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I will not give to another. For my own sake, I will do it. How should my name be profaned? I will not give my glory to another, Isaiah 48:11. God's not going to share His glory with us. God is not in the business of filling your idolatrous needs. Right? He's not going to share His glory with something less. Why? Because it would be wrong. It's not good for you. It's not good for you to seek your own glory or the glory of things or the glory from someone else. It's good for you to live for Him, to make much of Him, and to know Him, and to let Him be God in your relationships, to let Him be God in your life with other people and things and all of those kind of things. Let Him be the one that provides those for you, and to make much of the giver rather than the gift. And notice the seriousness of it here. James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Verse 6, He gives more grace. He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Your war, and if you're living in the midst of it, it feels like your war is with a person, right? It hurts. It really does. I've been there. But the truth is, your war is not with that person. Your war is with God. You make yourself God's enemy when you live for your own glory, when you have to have your will done, when you have to make your point, and they have to know it, and they have to whatever in your relationships. It's all about glory. And whether or not you're going to give God glory or live for something lesser. The last day is one of the last things that happens in the tribulation period in Revelation 14. Says it like this: I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice. Okay, here's the message. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water. Now, if I was doing it, I would say, all right, all the world, trust Jesus, right? That's our commission, right? Place your trust in Jesus. You need to be saved from the wrath. That's not what the angel says. He says, fear God and give Him glory. The whole issue of the tribulation period is what they were going to worship. They're going to worship the beast, they're going to worship the idols, or are they going to worship the true God? Right? Hey, that's life. What are you worshiping? We were hardwired to be worshipers. Do things so captivate us that we have to seek them and run after them, and I have to have that. Do the way that people relate to us so captivate us and drive us that we have to have a certain kind of relationship or a certain way that a person relates to us, we have to have it. It's idolatry. You weren't made for that. You were made to live for your Creator and to give Him glory. Isaiah 43 tells us that. Live for God and glorify Him. Make much of Him. I think of it this way in relationships, because I know myself and I've met a lot of people who are struggling. And it's very difficult to see this when you're in the midst of hard things. Most of the people that come to see us are professing believers. Most of them have a what I would call a clear testimony of salvation in Jesus Christ, asking them to come very clearly to the gospel. Most of them, when I ask them, after a while or whatever, is pleasing God your number one goal? Yeah. Most of the time it's even a battle. When I say, really, then how come your life is a complete truck wreck? I want you to think about it like this. If you're really convinced that you're living for God's glory, if you're really sure about that, and you're living for your number one goal to be pleasing to God, why do you get so angry when things don't go your way? Isn't that not a good question to ask yourself? We're so easily deceived in this area of glory. It's hard to even consider it. But someone who's living for God's glory would rest in Him when things are difficult. They would trust Him when it's hard. It's not that it takes away your desire not to get out of the heat. Jesus said, Father, take this cup from me. But He followed that up by, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He rested in the will of the Father. Hard. No one has faced a week like that. Very hard. If you really do desire to live for God, sinful anger will not come out. If you have brokenness in your relationships, there's an issue here where living for God needs to take precedence over living for yourself. Where do wars and fights come from among you? It comes because the people that I live with, you don't understand these people that I live with, right? No, you don't know. You don't know what I have to deal with. Yeah, I do. We all deal with that. It's not about that. It's about, are you going to rest in and trust the sovereignty and goodness of God and allowing this into your life? Are you going to draw near to Him in these things? Are you going to love them the way that Christ loved you? Or are you going to go to war? And are you going to make your point known? Are you going to make sure that they pay because you pay, because you hurt? It's a glory war. Live for God's glory. You were made for this. Now, I want you to think about this. This is heavy stuff, but there's an amazing side to living for God's glory that's like part B of that, okay? We live in the muck sometimes, and we get weighed down by that, but there's another side of that, living for God's glory, that's freeing, that releases you from the junk that we live in, living for these lesser glories, giving God first place, making much of Him. Because you were made to live for God's glory. You see that? There's a design that your Creator made you for. And when you live for that, Psalm 32:10, mercy shall surround you. Right? Many sorrows shall be to the one that tries to live for themselves, the wicked. The one that lives for, turns to God, who trusts in the Lord, it says, mercy shall surround him. Think about how life is greatly simplified by living for God's glory, right? Well, what if God wants me to do this? What if this? What if that? And I don't know which direction to go and all that. Father, your will be done, right? I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to see if there's anything that I'm directly violating in the path that I may choose. And if there's not, I'm just going to say, there's some freedom in Christ here. And I'm just going to say, Father, your will be done. If you want it to go this way, if you want it to go that way, I don't care. Whatever, God, I'm going to rest in you. Think about that. How about when you have a really hot problem in your relationships, and it's like this, and it just feels like there's no way out and there's no hope? Turn to Christ. God, this is hard, but I want your will to be done in my life and in theirs. It's difficult, I don't like it, but I'm going to submit to you, and I am not going to be sinfully angry, and I'm not going to respond sinfully when I'm sinned against. Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, right? Why? He committed himself to the one he knew was able to deliver him, right? You see, living for God's glory is freeing. It makes sense out of life. You know, we wander around with, why, God, why, God, why, God, why? Why? For your glory, right? He's making you more like Jesus Christ. We don't have to live in the turmoil of not understanding life or not knowing what it's all about. You were made for God's glory. It frees you. It should fill you with joy to see God in your problems and in your life. It should greatly simplify and make clear of the muddy mess that we live in today. It should give you a sense of a goal in life and a purpose in trials. Your goal in life is to please God. Your goal in life is to make much of Him. It frees you because when you get down to where we live as people, things can get pretty darn hopeless, right? You can't even see an end to this nasty mess, whatever it may be. But if you look at the greater work of God and the bigger picture of what God is doing, you can see a goal and hope that God is working through these difficulties and He's making me more like Christ. He's growing me and He's building me up. And ultimately, I can respond to Him by resting in Him, trusting Him, and doing His will as found in His Word. And my success rate is 100%. Think about that. Well, it's a mess, and it's turmoil, and it's all this, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to turn out well or bad. You can answer that. Please God. He is well pleased with you. 100% success. Right? Live for God's glory, and you've already succeeded. It really greatly simplifies life. It reconciles broken relationships. Think about that. If you have a marriage or a relationship even, greater than just marriage, where two people are living for their own glory and they have to have their will be done, what is the likelihood of that just becoming sweet one day? That's not going to happen, right? Now, what happens, though, when both people are very sinning against each other and one person purposes and says, I am going to please God regardless of what happens, and I am not going to respond sinfully, and I am going to live out Christ-likeness before this person? Now, the situation may or may not change, but it becomes a very different dynamic, right? How long will the person that wants to keep sinning be able to keep up just the energy of being able to sin against someone who is just pouring love on them, right? Doesn't make it easy, does it, right? Jesus was in the garden weeping, as it were, tears of blood. It's hard, but he did it to glorify the Father. It should focus our thoughts towards a greater goal and a greater purpose for life. How long do you have left to live? You don't even know, do you? I would guess that no one here has longer than maybe 80 years to live. Maybe 100. They're going to come up with a new technology and everyone here is going to live for another 200 years. Wow. Yeah, right. I agree. What is that? Really? In the scope of eternity? It's nothing. It's a blip. It's gone. But what we have here is an opportunity to live in a way that pleases God, that will bear fruit. Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So even if you purpose to live for God's glory and you do it and it's shown and you see it in your life and your heart is resting and trusting in Him and all the circumstances of your life are still what most people would call not good, you know that you have pleased God and that lasts forever. That's awesome, isn't it? That is so freeing. Why? Because it's something that somebody made up. No, you were made this way. It's just the design of the designer. It just logically goes together. We were not made to be idolaters. We are not made to live for ourselves. We are not made to live for a lesser glory. And when we do, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. When we live for God's glory, God's mercy surrounds you. God resists the proud. God gives grace to the humble. Right? This is very clear. This is the way that God has designed us to live. Set your mind on eternal things, a higher purpose instead of these temporal things that we live for. Make much of Jesus instead of making much of yourself. Build in yourself a lifestyle of living for God's glory. And please, just hear this today. No matter where you are in life, you can grow in this. Okay? And I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything, but I also want you to really be careful not to let yourself be deceived. I've met way too many people who tell me that their number one goal in life is to please God, and there's virtually no one that could agree with that. Okay? Really think about yourself personally and grow. Take a little bit of progress, right? Progressive sanctification. Grow in living for God's glory rather than something less. Look at your life today. Think about the things that frustrate you or upset you or get you angry or the places where you have wars and fights in your life or any of that kind of stuff. But take a step. Face trials and hardships in light of that truth. Sometimes trials and hardships are the grace of God in your life to grow you. And how sad is it when the God that made you, who made everything and is so incredibly glorious that he was deserving of all praise in the entire universe, everything in the universe could praise him, it still wouldn't be enough. And yet this God takes it on himself to bring into your life. Now think about that. The God that made you is getting active in your life, and he brings something into your life, and it's difficult. Okay, and he's doing it out of a heart of love to make you more like Christ, and your response is, ah! What a tragedy. Right? Start to think about and see these hardships and trials in our life in light of God's glory and start to rest in him. Oh my, that'll give you a lot more fun and peace in life. Right? It'll make life a lot more enjoyable. God, this is hard. I don't like it, but nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. I'm going to trust in you. See hardships in light of that and keep an eternal mindset. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, Romans 8:18. There's a day coming when all this junk of this life is going to make a lot more sense. And I think it's going to come on us pretty quickly. We're going to see Jesus, and I think pretty much most of us here are going to say, oh, oops, right? That's probably going to be the progression, right? Oops. Sorry, you know, that's going to be short-lived though, right? Because we're going to be in his presence and we're just going to be filled with joy. Live in light of that eternal purpose of God. Live in light of that today to see things with new eyes. You are made for God's glory and it's a wonderful thing. You were made to be a worshiper. But you are made only to worship the one who made you. And your life cannot be as full as it could be until you get that. Until you embrace that. Until you turn to him and say, God, not your will done, but mine. Not my will, but yours. And I love you. And whatever you have for me, that's what I want. Live for God's glory. Let's pray together. Lord, this is amazing truth today about your glory, and certainly feel deficient to even share it. Help us all in our weakness, God. And I pray that seeing anything from your word would not overwhelm us with despair, but point us to you, the God of all grace, who loves us enough to keep refining us and keep changing us and keep helping us and keep bringing us down the road to Christ's likeness. We have to admit and be honest today, Lord, that we don't measure up. We are thankful that that is the reason that Jesus Christ came. That because we have fallen and tend to be self-worshippers, Jesus came and paid our penalty. We are supremely thankful that your forgiveness is complete in Christ, that we can turn to you and not have to live under the bondage and burden of these things that ensnare and enslave us, but that there is freedom in life your way, that it is a joyous and wonderful life, that when our flesh wars against us and says, my glory, and it's not right for God to want me to glorify him, that we can turn to the truth and we can embrace you, God, and your way for us. And so I just pray for us today, especially as we have interaction in the next hour, to be just a light and a blessing to each other, an encouragement to grow, to take positive steps in pleasing you, and just to be enjoying this process of progressive sanctification as we learn of you and turn to you and trust you. God, we love you. May you be greatly glorified through each one of our lives and certainly through our church body. In Jesus' name, amen.